Park. Wednesdays were the worst. No Eleanor, and his dad ignored him all through dinner and Taekwondo. Park wondered if it was just the eyeliner that had done it, or if the eyeliner had been the pencil that broke the camel's back. Like Park had spent 16 years acting weak and weird and girly, and his dad had borne it on his massive shoulders. And then one day, Park put on makeup, and that was it. His dad just shrugged him off. "Your dad loves you," Eleanor said, and she was right. But it didn't matter. That was table stakes. His dad loved him in a completely obligatory way, like Park loved Josh. His dad couldn't stand the sight of him. Park kept wearing eyeliner to school, and he kept washing it off when he got home. And his dad kept acting like he wasn't there.
Eleanor. It was just a matter of time now. If Maisie and Ben knew, their mom would find out. Either the kids would tell her or she'd find some clue Eleanor had overlooked or something. It would be something. Eleanor didn't have anywhere to hide her secrets. In a box on her bed. At Park's house, a block away. She was running out of time with him. Chapter 39. Eleanor. Thursday night after dinner, Park's grandma came over to have her hair set, and his mom disappeared into the garage. His dad was messing with the plumbing under the sink, replacing the garbage disposal. Park was trying to tell Eleanor about a tape he'd bought, Elvis Costello. He couldn't shut up about it. There are a couple songs you might like, ballady stuff, but the rest is really fast. Like punk? She wrinkled her nose. She could stand a few Dead Milkmen songs, but other than that, she hated Park's punk music. "I feel like they're yelling at me," she'd say when he tried to put punk on her mixtapes. "Stop yelling at me, Glenn Danzig." "That's Henry Rollins. They all sound the same when they're yelling at me." Lately, Park was really into new wave music, or post-punk or something. He went through bands like Eleanor went through books. "No," he said. "Elvis Costello is more musical. Gentler. I'll dub you a copy." "Or you could just play it for me, now." Park tilted his head. "That would involve going into my room." "Okay," she said, not quite casually. "Okay?" he asked. "Months of no and now okay?" "Okay," Eleanor said. "You're always saying that your mom doesn't care." "My mom doesn't care." "So?" Park stood up jerkily, grinning, and pulled her up. He stopped at the kitchen. "We're going to listen to music in my room." "Fine," his dad said from under the sink. "Just don't get anybody pregnant." That should have been embarrassing, but Park's dad had a way of cutting past embarrassing. Eleanor wished he wasn't ignoring them all the time. Park's mom probably let him have girls in his room because you could practically see into his room from the living room, and you had to walk by it to get to the bathroom. But to Eleanor, it still felt incredibly private. She couldn't get over the fact that Park spent most of his time in this room horizontal. It was only a 90-degree difference, but imagining him that way blew all her fuses. Also, he changed his clothes in here. There was no place to sit but on his bed, which Eleanor wouldn't consider, so they sat between his bed and his stereo, where there was just enough room to sit with their legs bent. As soon as they sat down, Park started fast-forwarding through the Elvis Costello tape. He had stacks and stacks of tapes, and Eleanor pulled a few out to look at them. "Ah," Park said, pained. "What?" "Those are alphabetized." "It's okay, I know the alphabet." "Right." He looked embarrassed. "Sorry. Whenever Cal comes over, he always messes them up. Okay, this is the song I wanted you to hear. Listen." "Cal comes over?" "Yeah, sometimes." Park turned up the volume. "It's been a while." "Because now I just come over." "Which is okay with me, because I like you a lot more." "But you don't miss your other friends?" she asked.
"You're not listening," he said.
"Neither are you." He paused the tape, like he didn't want to waste this song as background music.
"Sorry,"
he said. We're talking about whether I miss Cal. I eat lunch with him almost every day. And he doesn't mind that you spend the rest of your time with me now? None of your friends mind? Park ran his hand through his hair. I still see them all at school. I don't know, I don't really miss them. I've never really missed anybody but you. But you don't miss me now, she said. We're together all the time. Are you kidding? I miss you constantly. Even though Park washed his face as soon as he got home, the black around his eyes didn't come off completely. It made everything he did lately seem more dramatic. That's crazy, she said. Park started laughing. I know. She wanted to tell him about Maisie and Ben and their days being numbered, etc., but he wouldn't understand. And what did she expect him to do? Park pushed play. What's this song called? She asked. Allison.
Park. Park played Elvis Costello for her, and Joe Jackson and Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers. She teased him because it was all so pretty and melodic and in the same phylum as Hall & Oates, and he threatened to evict her from his room. When his mom came to check on them, they were sitting with 100 cassette tapes between them, and as soon as she walked away, Park leaned over and kissed Eleanor. It seemed like the best time not to get caught. She was a little too far away, so he put his hand on her back and pulled her toward him. He tried to do it like it was something he did all the time, as if touching her someplace new wasn't like discovering the Northwest Passage. Eleanor came closer. She put her hands on the floor between them and leaned into him, which was so encouraging that he put his other hand on her waist. And then it was too much to be almost but not really holding her. Park rocked forward onto his knees and pulled her tighter. Half a dozen cassette tapes cracked under their weight. Eleanor fell back and Park fell forward. I'm sorry, she said. Oh, God, look what we did to meet his murder. Park sat back and looked at the tapes. He wanted to sweep them out of the way. It's mostly just the cases, I think, he said. Don't worry about it. He started picking up the broken plastic. The Smiths and the Smithereens, she said. We even broke them in alphabetical order. He tried to smile at her, but she wouldn't look at him. I should go, she said. I think it's almost 8 anyway. Oh, okay, I'll walk you. She stood up and Park followed her. They walked outside and down the walk, and when they got to his grandparents' driveway, Eleanor didn't stop.
Eleanor. Maisie smelled like an Avon lady, and she was made up like the whore of Babylon. They were definitely going to get caught. Talk about a house of effing cards. Jesus. And Eleanor couldn't even think strategy because all she could think about was Park's hands on her waist and her back and her stomach, which all must feel like nothing he'd ever encountered. Everyone in Park's family was skinny enough to be in a Special K commercial, even his grandma. Eleanor could only be in that scene where the actress pinches an inch, then looks at the camera like the world is going to end. Actually, she'd have to lose weight to be in that scene. You could pinch an inch, or two, or three, all over Eleanor's body. You could probably pinch an inch on her forehead. Holding hands was fine. Her hands weren't a complete embarrassment. And kissing seemed safe, because fat lips are okay, and because Park usually closed his eyes. But there was no safe place on Eleanor's torso. There was no place from her neck to her knees where she had any discernible infrastructure. As soon as Park touched her waist, she'd sucked in her stomach and pitched forward, which led to all the collateral damage, which made her feel like Godzilla. But even Godzilla wasn't fat. He was just ginormous. The maddening part was, Eleanor wanted Park to touch her again. She wanted him to touch her constantly. Even if it led to Park deciding that she was way too much like a walrus to remain his girlfriend, that's how good it felt. She was like one of those dogs who've tasted human blood and can't stop biting. A walrus who's tasted human blood. Chapter 40. Eleanor. Park wanted Eleanor to start checking her books now, especially after gym class. "Because if it is Tina," he said. You could tell that he still didn't believe that it was. "You need to tell somebody." Tell who? They were sitting in his room, leaning against his bed, trying to pretend that Park didn't have his arm around her for the first time since she crushed his cassette tapes. Just barely, not quite around her. "You could tell Mrs. Dunn," he said. "She likes you." "Okay, so I tell Mrs. Dunn, and I show her whatever awful thing Tina has misspelled on my books, and then Mrs. Dunn asks, 'How do you know that Tina wrote that?' She'll be just as skeptical as you were, but without the complicated romantic history." "There's no complicated romantic history," Park said. "Did you kiss her?" Eleanor hadn't meant to ask that, out loud. It was almost like she'd asked it so many times in her head that it leaked out. "Mrs. Dunn? No, but we've hugged a lot." "You know what I mean. Did you kiss her?" She was sure that he'd kissed her. She was sure that they'd done other stuff, too. Tina was so little, Park could probably wrap his arms all the way around her and shake his own hands at her waist. "I don't want to talk about this," he said. "Because you did," Eleanor said. "It doesn't matter." "It does matter. Was it your first kiss?" "Yeah," he said. "And that's one of the reasons it doesn't count. It was like a practice pitch."
"What are the other reasons?"
"It was Tina. I was 12. I didn't even like girls yet."
"But you'll always remember it," she said. "It was your first kiss."
"I'll remember that it didn't matter," Park said. Eleanor wanted to let this go. The most trustworthy voices in her head were shouting, "Let it go!"
"But," she said, "how could you kiss her?"
"I was 12.
"But she's awful."
"She was 12 too."
"But how could you kiss her and then kiss me?"
"I didn't even know you existed." Park's arm suddenly made contact, full contact with Eleanor's waist. He pressed into her side and she sat up instinctively, trying to spread herself thinner.
"There aren't even roads between Tina and me," she said. "How could you like us both? Did you have a life-changing head injury in junior high?"
Park put his other arm around her. "Please, listen to me. It was nothing. It doesn't matter."
"It matters," Eleanor whispered.
Now that his arms were around her, there was almost no space between them.
"Because you were the first person I ever kissed. And that matters."
He set his forehead against hers. She didn't know what to do with her eyes or her hands.
"Nothing before you counts," he said. "And I can't even imagine an after."
She shook her head.
"Don't."
"What?"
"Don't talk about after."
"I just meant that I want to be the last person who ever kisses you too. That sounds bad, like a death threat or something. What I'm trying to say is you're it. This is it for me."
"Don't!"
She didn't want him to talk like this. She'd meant to push him, but not this far.
"Eleanor, I don't want to think about an after."
"That's what I'm saying. Maybe there won't be one."
"Of course there will."
She put her hands on his chest so that she could push him away if she had to.
"I mean, God, of course there will. It's not like we're going to get married, Park."
"Not now."
"Stop."
She tried to roll her eyes, but it hurt. "I'm not proposing," he said. "I'm just saying I love you. And I can't imagine stopping." She shook her head.
"But you're 12.
"I'm 16, he said. "Bono was 15 when he met his wife, and Robert Smith was 14.
"Romeo, sweet Romeo."
"It's not like that, Eleanor, and you know it." Park's arms were tight around her. All the playfulness in his voice was gone. "There's no reason to think we're going to stop loving each other," he said. "And there's every reason to think that we won't."
"I never said I loved you," Eleanor thought.
and even after he kissed her, she kept her hands on his chest. So anyway, Park wanted her to start checking her book covers, especially after gym class. So now Eleanor waited until almost everybody else had changed and left the locker room, and then she carefully examined her books for anything suspicious. It was all very clinical. Denise and Bibi usually waited with her. It meant that they were late for lunch sometimes, but it also meant that they could all change in relative privacy, which they should have thought of months ago. There didn't seem to be anything pervy written on Eleanor's books today. In fact, Tina had ignored her all through class. Even Tina's sidekicks, even thuggy Annette, seemed bored with Eleanor. "I think they've run out of ways to make fun of my hair," Eleanor said to Denise while she looked over her algebra book. "They could call you Ronald McDonald," Denise said. "Have they called you that?" "Or Wendy," Bibi said, lowering her voice and calling, "Where's the beef?" "Shut up," Eleanor said, looking around the locker room. "Little pitchers." "They're all gone," Denise said. "Everybody's gone. They're all in the cafeteria, eating my macho nachos. Hurry up, girl." "You go ahead," Eleanor said. "Get us a place in line. I still have to change." "All right," Denise said. "But stop looking at those books. You said it yourself. There's nothing there. Come on, Bibi." Eleanor started packing up her books. She heard Bibi shout, "Where's the beef?" from the locker room door. Dork. Eleanor opened up her locker. It was empty. Huh. She tried the one above it. Nothing. And nothing below. No. Eleanor started over, opening all the lockers on the wall, then moving on to the next wall, trying not to panic. Maybe they'd just moved her clothes. Ha, funny. Super good joke, Tina. "What are you doing?" Mrs. Bird asked. "Looking for my clothes," Eleanor said. "You should use the same locker every time, so it's easy to remember." "No, I think somebody took them." "Those little bitches." Mrs. Burt sighed like she couldn't imagine a bigger hassle. Mrs. Burt started opening lockers at the other end of the room. Eleanor checked the trash and the showers. Then Mrs. Burt called out from the bathroom. "Found them." Eleanor walked into the bathroom. The floor was wet, and Mrs. Burt was standing in a stall. "I'll get a bag," Mrs. Burt said, pushing past Eleanor. Eleanor looked down at the toilet. Even though she knew what she was going to see there, it still felt like a wet slap in the face. Her new jeans and her cowboy shirt were in a dark pile in the bowl, and her shoes were crammed under the lip. Somebody had flushed the toilet, and there was water still spilling over the edge. Eleanor watched it run. "Here," Mrs. Burt said, handing Eleanor a yellow Food for Less bag. "Fish 'em out." "I don't want them," Eleanor said, backing away. She couldn't wear them anymore anyway. Everybody would know those were her toilet clothes. "Well, you can't leave them there," Mrs. Burt said. "Fish them out." Eleanor stared at her clothes. "Come on," Mrs. Burt said. Eleanor reached into the toilet and felt tears slipping down her cheeks. Mrs. Burt held the bag open. "You've got to stop letting them get to you, you know," she said. "You just encourage them." "Yeah, thanks," Eleanor thought, wringing out her jeans over the toilet. She wanted to wipe her eyes, but her hands were wet. Mrs. Burt handed her the bag. "Come on," she said. "I'll write you a pass." "For where?" Eleanor asked. "Your counselor's office." Eleanor took a sharp breath. "I can't walk down the hall like this. What do you want from me, Eleanor?" That was obviously a rhetorical question. Mrs. Burt wasn't even looking at her. Eleanor followed her to the coach's office and waited for the pass. As soon as she got out to the hallway, the tears came on hard. She couldn't walk through the school like this, in her gym suit, in front of boys. And everybody. In front of Tina. God, Tina was probably selling tickets outside the cafeteria.
Eleanor couldn't do it. Not like this. It wasn't just that her gym suit was ugly. Polyester, one piece, red and white stripes with an extra long white zipper. It was also extremely tight. The shorts just barely cleared her underwear, and the fabric was stretched so tight over her chest, the seams were starting to pop under her arms. She was a tragedy in that gym suit, a 10-car pileup. People were already showing up for the next gym class. A few freshman girls looked at Eleanor, then started whispering. Her bag was dripping. Before she could think it through, Eleanor turned the wrong way down the hall and headed for the door to the football field. She acted like she was supposed to be walking out of the building in the middle of the day, like she was on some kind of weeping, half-dressed, drippy bag mission. The door clicked locked behind her, and Eleanor crouched against it, letting herself fall apart. Just for a minute. God. God. There was a trash can sitting right outside the door, and she got up and hurled the Food for Less bag into it. She wiped her eyes with her gym suit. Okay, she told herself, taking a deep breath. Get it together. Don't let them get to you. Those were her new jeans in the trash, and her favorite shoes, her Vans. She walked over to the trash and shook her head, reaching down for the bag. Fuck you, Tina. Fuck you to the moon. She took another deep breath and started walking. There were no classrooms on this end of the school, so at least no one was watching her. She stuck close to the building, and when she turned the corner, she walked under the row of windows. She thought about walking right home, but that might be worse. It'd definitely be longer. If she could just get to the front door, the counselor's offices were right inside. Mrs. Dunn would help her. Mrs. Dunn wouldn't tell her not to cry. The security guard at the front door acted like girls were wandering in and out in their gym clothes all day long. He glanced at Eleanor's pass and waved her on. Almost there, Eleanor thought. Don't run, just a few more doors. She really should have expected Park to walk through one of them. Ever since the first day they'd met, Eleanor was always seeing him in unexpected places. It was like their lives were overlapping lines, like they had their own gravity. Usually, that serendipity felt like the nicest thing the universe had ever done for her. Park walked out of a door on the opposite side of the hallway and stopped as soon as he saw her. She tried to look away, but she didn't do it soon enough. Park's face turned red. He stared at her. She pulled down her shorts and stumbled forward, running the last few steps to the counselor's offices. You don't have to go back there, her mom said after Eleanor had told her the whole story, almost the whole story. Eleanor thought for a moment about what she'd do if she didn't go back to school. Stay here all day? And then what? It's okay, she said. Mrs. Dunn had driven Eleanor home herself, and she'd promised to bring a padlock for her gym locker. Eleanor's mom dumped the yellow plastic bag into the bathtub and started rinsing out the clothes, wrinkling her nose, even though they didn't smell. Girls are so mean, she said. You're lucky to have one friend you can trust. Eleanor must have looked confused. Tina, her mom said. You're lucky to have Tina. Eleanor nodded. She stayed home that night, even though it was Friday, and Park's family always watched movies and made popcorn in the air popper on Fridays. She couldn't face him. All she'd see was the look on his face in the hallway. She'd feel like she was still standing there in her gym suit.
Chapter 41. Park. Park went to bed early. His mom kept bothering him about Eleanor.
Where's Eleanor tonight? She running late? You get in fight?
Every time she said Eleanor's name, Park felt his face go hot.
I can tell that something's wrong, his mom said at dinner. Did you get in fight? Did you break up again?
No, Park said. I think maybe she went home sick. She wasn't on the bus. I have a girlfriend now, Josh said.
Could she start coming over? No girlfriend, then Mom said. Too young. I'm almost 13.
Sure, their dad said. Your girlfriend can come over, if you're willing to give up your Nintendo.
What? Josh was stricken. Why?
Because I said so, his dad said. Is it a deal?
No, no way, Josh said. Does Park have to give up Nintendo?
Yep. Is that okay with you, Park?
Fine.
I'm like Billy Jack, their dad said. A warrior and a shaman.
It wasn't much of a conversation, but it was the most his dad had said to Park in weeks. Maybe his dad had been bracing for the entire neighborhood to swarm the house with torches and pitchforks as soon as they saw Park with eyeliner. But almost nobody cared. Not even his grandparents. His grandma said he looked like Rudolph Valentino, and he heard his grandpa tell his dad,
"You should have seen what kids look like while you were in Korea."
I'm going to bed, Park said, standing up from the table. I don't feel well either.
So if Park doesn't get to play Nintendo anymore, Josh asked, can I put it in my room?
Park can play Nintendo whenever he wants, their dad said.
God, Josh said. Everything you guys do is unfair.
Park turned off his light and crawled onto his bed. He lay on his back because he didn't trust his front. Or his hands, actually. Or his brain. After he saw Eleanor today, it hadn't occurred to him, not for at least an hour, to wonder why she was walking down the hall in her gym suit. And it took him another hour to realize he should have said something to her. He could have said, hey, or what's going on, or are you okay? Instead, he'd stared at her like he'd never seen her before. He felt like he'd never seen her before. It's not like he hadn't thought about it a lot. Eleanor under her clothes. But he could never fill in any of the details. The only women he could actually picture naked were the women in the magazines his dad every once in a while remembered to hide under his bed. Magazines like that made Eleanor freak. Just mention Hugh Hefner and she'd be off for half an hour on prostitution and slavery and the fall of Rome. Park hadn't told her about his dad's 20-year-old playboys, but he hadn't touched them since he met her. He could fill in some of the details now. He could picture Eleanor. He couldn't stop picturing her. Why hadn't he ever noticed how tight those gym suits were? And how short? And why hadn't he expected her to be so grown up? To have so much negative space? He closed his eyes and saw her again. A stack of freckled heart shapes. A perfectly made Dairy Queen ice cream cone. Like Betty Boop, drawn with a heavy hand. Hey, he thought. What's going on? Are you okay? She must not be. She hadn't been on the bus on the way home. She hadn't come over after school. And tomorrow was Saturday. What if he didn't see her all weekend? How could he even look at her now?
He wouldn't be able to. Not without stripping her down to her gym suit. Without thinking about that long, white zipper. Jesus.
Chapter 42. Park. His family was going to the boat show the next day, then out to lunch and maybe to the mall. Park took forever to eat his breakfast and take a shower.
Come on, Park, his dad said sharply. Get dressed and put your makeup on.
Like he'd wear makeup to the boat show.
Come on,
his mom said, checking her lipstick in the hall mirror.
You know your dad hate crowds.
Do I have to go?
You don't want to go?
She scrunched and fluffed the back of her hair. No, I do, Park said. He didn't. But what if Eleanor comes over? I don't want to miss the chance to talk to her.
Is something wrong? You sure you didn't fight?
No, no fight. I'm just worried about her. And you know I can't call her house. His mom turned away from the mirror.
Okay, she said, frowning. You stay, but vacuum, okay? And put away big pile of black clothes on your floor.
Thanks, Park said. He hugged her.
Park! Mindy!
His dad was standing at the front door.
Let's go!
Park's staying home,
his mom said.
We go!
His dad flashed him a look, but didn't argue. Park wasn't used to being home alone. He vacuumed. He put his clothes away. He made himself a sandwich and watched a Young Ones marathon on MTV, then fell asleep on the couch. When he heard the doorbell, he jerked up to answer it before he was awake. His heart was pounding the way it does sometimes when you sleep too hard in the middle of the day, like you can't remember how to wake up. He was sure it was Eleanor. He opened the door without checking.
Eleanor. Their car wasn't in the driveway, so Eleanor figured Park's family wasn't home. They were probably off doing awesome family stuff, eating lunch at Bonanza and having their portraits taken in matching sweaters. She'd already given up on the door when it opened, and before she could act embarrassed and uncomfortable about yesterday, or pretend that she wasn't, Park was opening the screen door and pulling her in by her shirt sleeve. He didn't even close the door before he put his arms around her, his entire arms, all down the length of her back. Park usually held Eleanor with his hands on her waist like they were slow dancing. This wasn't slow dancing. This was something else. His arms were around her and his face was in her hair, and there was no place for the rest of her to go but against him. He was warm. Like really warm and fuzzy soft, like a sleeping baby, she thought. Sort of. Not exactly. She tried to feel embarrassed again. Park kicked the door closed and fell back on it, pulling her even tighter. His hair was clean and straight and flopping into his eyes, and his eyes were nearly closed. Fuzzy. Soft. Were you sleeping? She whispered, like he still might be. He didn't answer, but his mouth fell on hers, open, and her head fell back into his hand. He was holding her so close, there was nowhere to hide. She couldn't sit up or suck in or keep any secrets. Park made a noise, and it hummed in her throat. She could feel all 10 of his fingers, on her neck, on her back. Her own hands hung stupidly at her side, like they weren't even in the same scene as his, like she wasn't even in the same scene. Park must have noticed because he pulled his mouth back. He tried to wipe it on the shoulder of his t-shirt, and he looked at her like he was seeing her for the first time since she got there. Hey, he said, taking a breath, focusing. What's going on? Are you okay? Eleanor looked at Park's face, so full of something she couldn't quite place. His chin hung forward like his mouth didn't want to pull away from her, and his eyes were so green they could turn carbon dioxide into oxygen. He was touching her all the places she was afraid to be touched. Eleanor tried one last time to be embarrassed.
Park. For a second, he thought he'd gone too far. He hadn't even meant to. He was practically sleepwalking. And he'd been thinking about Eleanor, dreaming about her for so many hours. Wanting her made him stupid. She was so still in his arms. He thought for a second that he'd gone too far, that he'd tripped a wire. And then, Eleanor touched him. She touched his neck. It's hard to say why this was different from all the other times she'd touched him. She was different. She was still, and then she wasn't. She touched his neck, then drew a line down his chest. Park wished that he was taller and broader. He hoped she wouldn't stop. She was so gentle compared to him. Maybe she didn't want him like he wanted her, but even if she wanted him half as much.
Eleanor. This is how she touched him in her head, from jaw to neck to shoulder. He was so much warmer than she expected, and harder, Like all his muscles and bones were right on the surface, like his heart was beating just under his t-shirt. She touched Park softly, gingerly, just in case she touched him wrong.
Park. He relaxed against the door. He felt Eleanor's hand on his throat, on his chest, then took her other hand and pressed it to his face. He made a noise like he was hurt and decided to feel self-conscious about it later. If he was shy now, he wouldn't get anything that he wanted.
Eleanor. Park was alive, and she was awake, and this was allowed. He was hers, to have and hold, not forever maybe, not forever for sure, and not figuratively, but literally, and now, now he was hers, and he wanted her to touch him. He was like a cat who pushes its head under your hands. Eleanor brought her hands down Park's chest with her fingertips apart, then brought them up again, under his shirt. She did it because she wanted to. And because once she started touching him the way she did in her head, it was hard to stop. And because, what if she never had the chance to touch him like this again?
Park. When he felt her fingers on his stomach, he made the noise again. He held her to him and pushed forward, pushing Eleanor backwards, stumbling around the coffee table to the couch. In movies, this happened smoothly or comically. In Park's living room, it was just awkward. They wouldn't let go of each other, so Eleanor fell back, and Park fell against her in the corner of the couch. He wanted to look in her eyes, but it was hard when they were this close. Eleanor, he whispered. She nodded. I love you, he said. She looked up at him, her eyes shiny and black, then looked away. I know, she said. He pulled one of his arms out from under her and traced her outline against the couch. He could spend all day like this, running his hand down her ribs, into her waist, out to her hip and back again. If he had all day, he would, if she weren't made of so many other miracles. You know, he repeated. She smiled, so he kissed her. You're not the Han Solo in this relationship, you know. I'm totally the Han Solo, she whispered. It was good to hear her. It was good to remember it was Eleanor under all this new flesh.
Well, I'm not the Princess Leia, he said.
Don't get so hung up on gender roles, Eleanor said. Park ran his hand out to her hip and back again, catching his thumb under her sweater. She swallowed and lifted her chin. He pulled her sweater up farther, and then, without thinking about why, he pulled up his shirt too and laid his bare stomach against hers. Eleanor's face crumpled, and it made him come unhinged.
You can be Han Solo, he said, kissing her throat, and I'll be Boba Fett. I'll cross the sky for you.
Eleanor. Things she knew now that she hadn't known 2 hours ago. Park was covered with skin, everywhere, and it was all just as smooth and honey-beautiful as the skin on his hands. It felt thick and richer in some places, more like crushed velvet than silk, but it was all his and all wonderful. She was also covered with skin, and her skin was apparently covered with super-powered nerve endings that hadn't done a damn thing her whole life, but came alive like ice and fire and bee stings as soon as Park touched her, wherever Park touched her. As embarrassed as she was of her stomach and her freckles and the fact that her bra was held together with two safety pins, she wanted Park to touch her more than she could ever feel embarrassed. And when he touched her, he didn't seem to care about any of those things. Some of them he even liked, like her freckles. He said she was candy sprinkled. She wanted him to touch her everywhere. He'd stopped at the edge of her bra and only dipped his fingers into the back of her jeans, but it wasn't Eleanor who stopped him. She never would. When Park touched her, it felt better than anything she'd ever felt in her whole life, ever. And she wanted to feel that way as much as she could. She wanted to stock up on him. Nothing was dirty with Park. Nothing could be shameful. Because Park was the sun, and that was the only way Eleanor could think to explain it.
Park. Once it started to get dark, he felt like his parents could walk in at any minute, like they should have been home a long time ago, and he didn't want them to find him like this, with his knee between Eleanor's legs and his hand on her hip and his mouth as far as it could reach down the neck of her sweater. He pulled away from her and tried to think clearly again.
"Where are you going?" she asked.
"I don't know. Nowhere. My parents should be home soon. We should get it together."
"Okay,"
she said and sat up. But she looked so bewildered and beautiful that he climbed back on top of her and pushed her all the way down. A half hour later, he tried again. He stood up this time. "I'm going to the bathroom," he said.
"Go," she said. "Don't look back."
He took a step, then looked back.
"I'll go,"
she said a few minutes later. While she was gone, Park turned up the volume on the TV. He got them both Cokes and looked at the couch to see if it looked illicit. It didn't seem to. When Eleanor came back, her face was wet. "Did you wash your face?"
"Yeah,"
she said.
"Why?" "Because I looked weird."
"And you thought you could wash it off?"
He gave her the same once-over he'd given the couch. Her lips were swollen, and her eyes seemed wilder than usual. But Eleanor's sweaters were always stretched out, and her hair always looked tangled.
"You look fine," he said. "What about me?"
She looked at him and then smiled.
"Good," she said. "Just really, really good."
He held out his hand to her and pulled her onto the couch, smoothly this time. She sat next to him and looked down at her lap. Park leaned against her.
"It's not going to be weird now," he said. "Is it?"
She shook her head and laughed.
"No,"
she said. And then,
"Only for a minute. Only a little."
He'd never seen her face so open. Her brows weren't pulled together. Her nose wasn't scrunched. He put his arm around her, and she laid her head on his chest without any prompting.
"Oh, look," she said. "The young ones."
"Yeah."
"Hey, you still haven't told me. What was going on yesterday when I saw you? What was wrong?"
She sighed.
"I was on my way to Mrs. Dunn's office because somebody in Jim took my clothes."
"Tina?"
"I don't know, probably."
"Jesus,"
he said. "It's terrible." "It's okay."
She actually sounded like it was.
"Did you find them? Your clothes?"
"Yeah.
I really, really don't want to talk about it."
"Okay," he said. Eleanor pressed her cheek into his chest and Park hugged her. He wished that they could go through life like this, that he could physically put himself between Eleanor and the world. Maybe Tina really was a monster.
"Park,"
Eleanor said,
"just one more thing. I mean, can I ask you something?"
"You know you can ask me anything. We've got a deal." She set her hand over his heart.
"Did the way you acted today have something to do with seeing me yesterday?"
He almost didn't want to answer. Yesterday's confusing lust felt even more inappropriate now that he knew the depressing backstory.
"Yeah," he said quietly.
Eleanor didn't say anything for a minute or so, and then,
"Tina would be so pissed."
Eleanor. When Park's parents got home, they seemed genuinely glad to see Eleanor. His dad had bought a new hunting rifle at the boat show, and he tried to show her how it worked.
You can buy guns at a boat show? Eleanor asked. You can buy anything at a boat show, his dad said. Anything worth having. Books? She asked. Books about guns and boats. She stayed late because it was Saturday, and on the way home, she and Park stopped at his grandparents' driveway, as usual. But tonight, Park didn't lean over and kiss her. Instead, he held her tight. Do you think we'll ever be alone like that again? She asked. She felt the tears in her eyes. Ever? Yes. Soon? I don't know. She hugged him as hard as she could, and then she walked home alone. Richie was home and awake and watching Saturday Night Live. Ben was asleep on the floor, and Maisie was sleeping next to Richie on the couch. Eleanor would have gone straight to bed, but she had to go to the bathroom, which meant walking between him and the TV, twice. When she got to the bathroom, she pulled her hair back tight and washed her face again. She hurried back past the TV without looking up. Where have you been? Richie asked. Where do you go all the time? To my friend's house, Eleanor said. She kept walking. What friend? Tina, Eleanor said. She put her hand on the bedroom door. Tina, Richie said. There was a cigarette in his mouth, and he was holding a can of Old Milwaukee. Tina's house must be fucking Disneyland, huh? You can't get enough. She waited. Eleanor? She heard her mom calling from the bedroom. She sounded half asleep. So, what did you spend your Christmas money on? Richie asked. I told you to buy yourself something nice. The bedroom door opened and her mother came out. She was wearing Richie's bathrobe, one of those Asian souvenir robes, red satin with a big gaudy tiger. Eleanor, her mom said, go to bed. I was just asking Eleanor what she bought with her Christmas money, Richie said. If Eleanor made something up now, he'd want to see whatever it was. If she said she hadn't spent the money, he might want it back. A necklace, she said. A necklace, he repeated. He looked at her blearily, like he was trying to come up with something awful to say, but he just took another drink and leaned back in his chair. Good night, Eleanor, her mom said.
Chapter 43. Park. Park's parents almost never fought, and when they did, it was always about him or Josh. His parents had been arguing in their bedroom for more than an hour, and when it was time to leave for Sunday dinner, their mom came out and told the boys to go ahead without them.
Tell Grandma I have headache.
What did you do? Josh asked Park as they cut through the front lawn.
Nothing, Park said. What did you do?
Nothing. It's you. When I went to the bathroom, I heard Mom say your name.
But Park hadn't done anything. Not since the eyeliner, which he knew wasn't dead, but it seemed in remission.
Maybe his parents knew somehow about yesterday.
Even if they did, Park hadn't done anything with Eleanor that he'd ever been explicitly told not to do. His mom never talked to him about that kind of thing. And his dad hadn't said anything more than, "Don't get anybody pregnant," since he told Park about sex in the fifth grade. He told Josh at the same time, which was insulting. Anyway, they hadn't gone that far. He hadn't touched her anywhere that you couldn't show on television, even though he'd wanted to. He wished now that he had. It might be months before they were alone again.
Eleanor. She went to Mrs. Dunn's office Monday morning before class, and Mrs. Dunn gave her a brand new combination lock. It was hot pink. We talked to some of the girls in your class, Mrs. Dunn said, but they all played dumb. We're still going to get to the bottom of this, I promise. There is no bottom, Eleanor thought. There's just Tina. It's okay, she told Mrs. Dunn. It doesn't matter. Tina had watched Eleanor get on the bus that morning with her tongue on her top lip, like she was waiting for Eleanor to spaz out, or like she was trying to see whether Eleanor was wearing any toilet clothes. But Park was right there, practically pulling Eleanor into his lap. So it was easy to ignore Tina and everybody else. He looked so cute this morning. Instead of his usual scary black band t-shirt, he was wearing a green shirt that said, "Kiss me, I'm Irish." He walked with her to the counselor's offices and told her that if anybody stole her clothes today, she was supposed to find him immediately. Nobody did. Bibi and Denise had already heard about what happened from somebody in another class, which meant that the whole school knew. They said they were never going to let Eleanor walk alone to lunch again, macho nachos be damned. "Those skanks need to know you have friends," Denise said. "Mm-hmm," Bibi agreed.
Park. His mom was waiting in the Impala Monday afternoon when Park and Eleanor got off the bus. She rolled down the window.
"Hi, Eleanor. Sorry, but Park has errand to run. We see you tomorrow, okay?"
"Sure," Eleanor said. She looked at him and he reached out to squeeze her hand as she walked away. He got into the car.
"Come on, come on," his mom said. "Why you do everything so slow? Here."
She handed him a brochure. State of Nebraska Driver's Manual.
"Practice test at end," she said. "Now buckle up."
"Where are we going?" he asked.
"To get your driving license, dummy."
"Does Dad know?"
His mom sat on a pillow when she drove and hung forward on the steering wheel.
"He knows, but you don't have to talk to him about it, okay? This is our business right now, you and me. Now, look at test. Not hard. I pass on first try."
Park flipped to the back of the book and looked at the practice exam. He'd studied the whole manual when he turned 15 and got his learner's permit.
"Is Dad going to be mad at me?" he asked.
"Whose business is this right now?"
"Ours," he said.
"You and me," she said.
Park passed the test on his first try. He even parallel parked the Impala, which was like parallel parking a Star Destroyer. His mom wiped his eyelids with the Kleenex before he had his picture taken. She let him drive home.
"So, if we don't tell Dad," Park asked, "does that mean I can't ever drive?"
He wanted to drive Eleanor somewhere. Anywhere.
"I work on it," his mom said. "Meantime, you have your license if you need it, for emergency."
That seemed like a pretty weak excuse to get his license. Park had gone 16 years without a driving emergency.
The next morning on the bus, Eleanor asked him what his big secret errand was, and he handed her his license.
"What?" she said. "Look at you. Look at this."
She didn't want to give it back.
"I don't have any pictures of you," she said.
"I'll get you another one," he said.
"You will? Really?"
"You can have one of my school pictures. My mom has tons."
"You have to write something on the back," she said.
"Like what?"
"Like, hey, Eleanor, KITLYLAS, stay sweet, Park."
"But I don't LY like an S," he said. "And you're not sweet."
"I'm sweet," she said, affronted and holding back his license.
"No, you're other good things," he said, snatching it from her. "But not sweet."
"Is this where you tell me that I'm a scoundrel, and I say that I think you like me because I'm a scoundrel? Because we've already covered this. I'm the Han Solo."
"I'm going to write, 'For Eleanor, I love you, Park.'"
"God, don't write that. My mom might find it."
Eleanor. Park gave her a school picture. It was from October, but he already looked so different now, older. In the end, Eleanor hadn't let him write anything on the back because she didn't want him to ruin it. They hung out in his bedroom after dinner, tater-tot casserole, and managed to sneak kisses while they looked through all of Park's old school pictures. Seeing him as a little kid just made her want to kiss him more. Gross, but whatever. As long as she didn't want to kiss actual little kids, she wasn't going to worry about it. When Park asked her for a picture, she was relieved that she didn't have any to give him. "We'll take one," he said. "Okay." "Okay, cool. I'll get my mom's camera." "Now?" "Why not now?" She didn't have an answer. His mom was thrilled to take her picture. This called for Makeover Part 2, which Park cut short, thank God, saying, "Mom, I want a photo that actually looks like Eleanor." His mom insisted on taking a photo of them together, too, which Park didn't mind at all. He put his arm around her. "Shouldn't we wait?" Eleanor asked. "For a holiday or something more memorable?" "I want to remember tonight," Park said. He was such a dork sometimes. Eleanor must have been acting too happy when she got home because her mom followed her to the back of the house like she could smell it on her. Happiness smelled like Park's house, like Skin So Soft and all four food groups. "Are you going to take a bath?" her mom asked. "Uh-huh. I'll watch the door for you." Eleanor turned on the hot water and climbed into the empty bathtub. It was so cold by the back door that the bathwater started cooling off before the tub was even full. Eleanor took baths in such a hurry she was usually done by then. "I ran into Eileen Benson at the store today," her mom said. "Do you remember her from church?" "I don't think so," Eleanor said. Her family hadn't gone to church in 3 years. "She had a daughter your age, Tracy." "Maybe." "Well, she's pregnant," her mom said. "And Eileen's a wreck. Tracy got involved with a boy in their neighborhood, a black boy. Eileen's husband is having a fit." "I don't remember them," Eleanor said. The tub was almost full enough to rinse her hair. "Well, it just made me think about how lucky I am," her mom said. "That you didn't get involved with a black guy?" "No," her mom said. "I'm talking about you. How lucky I am that you're so smart about boys." "I'm not smart about boys," Eleanor said. She rinsed her hair quickly, then stood up, covering herself with a towel while she got dressed. "You stayed away from them. That's smart." Eleanor pulled out the drain and carefully picked up her dirty clothes. Park's photo was in her back pocket, and she didn't want it to get wet. Her mom was standing by the stove, watching her. "Smarter than I ever was," her mom said, "and braver. I haven't been on my own since the 8th grade. Eleanor hugged her dirty jeans to her chest. "You act like there are two kinds of girls," she said. "The smart ones and the ones that boys like." "That's not far from the truth," her mom said, trying to put her hand on Eleanor's shoulder. Eleanor took a step back. "You'll see," her mom said. "Wait until you're older." They both heard Richie's truck pull into the driveway. Eleanor pushed past her mother and rushed to her bedroom. Ben and Mouse slipped in just behind her. Eleanor couldn't think of a place safe enough for Park's photo, so she zipped it into the pocket of her school bag. After she'd looked at it again and again and again. Chapter 44. Eleanor. Wednesday night wasn't the worst. Park had Taekwondo, but Eleanor still had Park, the memory of him everywhere. Everywhere he'd touched her felt untouchable. Everywhere he'd touched her felt safe. Richie had to work late that night, so her mom made Totino's party pizzas for dinner. They must have been on sale at Food for Less because the freezer was stuffed with them. They watched Highway to Heaven while they ate. Then Eleanor sat with Maisie on the living room floor, and they tried to teach Mouse Down Down Baby. It was hopeless. He could either remember the words or the clapping, but never both at once. It drove Maisie crazy. "Start again," she kept saying. "Come help us, Ben," Eleanor said. "It's easier with four." "Down, down, baby, down by the roller coaster. Sweet, sweet baby, I'll never let you go. Shimmy, shimmy, Cocoa Puff, shimmy." "Oh my God, Mouse, right hand first. Right first. Okay, start again. Down, down, baby." "Mouse!"
Chapter 45. Park.
"I don't feel like cooking dinner," his mom said.
It was just the three of them, Park, his mom, and Eleanor, sitting on the couch watching Wheel of Fortune. His dad had gone turkey hunting and wouldn't be home until late, and Josh was staying over at a friend's. I could heat up a pizza, Park said.
Or we could go get pizza,
his mom said. Park looked at Eleanor. He didn't know what the rules were as far as going out. Her eyes got big and she shrugged. Yeah, Park said, grinning. Let's go get pizza.
I feel too lazy, his mom said. You and Eleanor go get pizza.
You want me to drive?
Sure,
his mom said.
You too scared?
Jeez, now his mom was calling him pussy. No, I can drive. Do you want Pizza Hut? Should we call it in first?
You go where you want, his mom said. I'm not even very hungry. You go, eat dinner, see movie or something.
He and Eleanor both stared at her. Are you sure? He asked.
Yeah, go, she said. I never get house to myself. She was home all day, every day by herself, but Park decided not to mention it.
He and Eleanor stood up cautiously from the couch, like they were expecting his mom to say, April Fools, 2 weeks late.
Keys on hook, she said. Hand me my purse.
She gave him $20 from her wallet, and then 10 more. Thanks, Park said, still hesitant. I guess we'll go now?
Not yet.
His mom looked at Eleanor's clothes and frowned.
Eleanor can't go out like that.
If they wore the same size, she'd be forcing Eleanor into a stone-washed miniskirt about now.
But I've looked like this all day, Eleanor said.
She was wearing army surplus pants and a short-sleeved men's shirt over some kind of long-sleeved purple t-shirt. Park thought she looked cool. He actually thought she looked adorable, but that word would make Eleanor gag.
Just let me fix your hair, his mom said.
She pulled Eleanor into the bathroom and started pulling bobby pins out of her hair.
Down, 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 she said.
Park leaned against the doorway and watched.
It's weird that you're watching this, Eleanor said.
It's nothing I haven't seen before, he said.
Park probably helped me do your hair on wedding day, his mom said.
He and Eleanor both looked at the floor.
I'll wait for you in the living room, he said.
In a few minutes, she was ready. Her hair looked perfect, every curl shiny and on purpose, and her lips were a glossy pink. He could tell from hair that she'd taste like strawberries.
Okay, his mom said. Go. Have fun.
They walked out to the Impala, and Park opened the door for Eleanor.
I can open my own door, she said.
And by the time he got to his side, she'd leaned over the seat and pushed his door open.
Where should we go?
He asked.
I don't know, she said, sinking down in her seat. Can we just get out of the neighborhood? I feel like I'm sneaking across the Berlin Wall.
Oh, he said. Yeah. He started the car and looked over at her.
Get down more. Your hair glows in the dark.
Thanks.
You know what I mean.
He started driving west. There was nothing east of the flats but the river.
Don't drive by the rail, she said.
The what?
Turn right here.
Okay. He looked down at her. She was crouching on the floor and laughed.
It's not funny.
It's kind of funny, he said. You're on the floor and I'm only getting to drive because my dad's out of town.
Your dad wants you to drive. All you have to do is learn how to drive a stick.
I already know how to drive a stick.
Then what's the problem?
The problem is me, he said, feeling irritated. Hey, we're out of the neighborhood. Can you sit up now?
I'll sit up when we get to 24th Street.
She sat up at 24th Street, but they didn't talk again until 42nd.
Where are we going? She asked.
I don't know, he said. He really didn't. He knew how to get to school and how to get downtown, and that was it. Where do you want to go?
I don't know, she said.
Eleanor. She wanted to go to Inspiration Point, which, as far as she knew, only existed on happy days. And she didn't want to say to Park, hey, where do you kids go when you want to fog up the windows? Because what would he think of her? And what if he had an answer?
Eleanor was trying really hard not to be overawed by Park's driving skills, but every time he changed lanes or checked the rearview mirror, she caught herself swooning. He might as well be lighting a cigarette or ordering a scotch on the rocks. It made him seem so much older. Eleanor didn't have her learner's permit. Her mom wasn't even allowed to drive, so getting Eleanor's license wasn't a priority. "Do we have to go somewhere?" she asked. "Well, we have to go somewhere," Park said. "But do we have to do something? What do you mean? Can't we just go somewhere and be together? Where do people go to be together? I don't even care if we get out of the car." He looked over at her, then looked back nervously at the road. "Okay," he said. Yeah, just let me..." He pulled into a parking lot and turned around. "We'll go downtown."
Park. They did get out of the car. Once they were downtown, Park wanted to show Eleanor Drastic Plastic and the Antiquarium and all the other record stores. She'd never even been to the Old Market, which was practically the only place to go in Omaha. There were a bunch of other kids hanging out downtown, a lot of them looking much weirder than Eleanor. Park took her to his favorite pizza place, and then his favorite ice cream place, and his third favorite comic book shop. He kept pretending that they were on a real date, and then he'd remember that they were.
Eleanor. Park held her hand the whole night, like he was her boyfriend. "Because he is your boyfriend, dummy," she kept telling herself. Much to the dismay of the girl working at the record store. She had 8 holes in each ear, and she clearly thought Park was a whole closet full of cat's pajamas. The girl looked at Eleanor like, "Are you kidding me?" And Eleanor looked back like, "I know, right?" They walked down every street of the market area and then across the street into a park. Eleanor didn't even know all this existed. She hadn't realized Omaha could be such a nice place to live. In her head, this was Park's doing too. The world rebuilt itself into a better place around him.
Park. They ended up at Central Park, Omaha's version. Eleanor had never been here before either, and even though it was wet and muddy and still kind of cold, she kept saying how nice it was.
"Oh, look," she said, "swans."
"I think those are geese," he said.
"Well, they're the best-looking geese I've ever seen."
They sat on one of the park benches and watched the geese settle in on the bank of the man-made lake. Park put his arm around Eleanor and felt her lean against him.
"Let's keep doing this," he said.
"What?"
"Going out."
"Okay," she said.
She didn't say anything about him learning how to drive a manual transmission, which he appreciated.
"We should go to prom," he said.
"What?"
She lifted up her head.
"Prom. You know, prom." "I know what it is, but why would we go there?"
Because he wanted to see Eleanor in a pretty dress. Because he wanted to help his mom do her hair.
"Because it's prom," he said. "And it's lame," she said.
"How do you know?"
"Because the theme is, I want to know what love is."
"That's not such a bad song," he said.
"Are you drunk? It's Foreigner."
Park shrugged and pulled one of her curls straight. "I know that prom is lame," he said. "But it's not something you can go back and do. You only get one chance."
"Actually, you get 3 chances."
"Okay. Will you go to prom with me next year?" She started laughing.
"Yeah," she said. "Sure. We can go next year. That will give my mouse and bird friends plenty of time to make me a dress. Totally, yes. Let's go to prom."
"You think it's never going to happen," he said. "You'll see."
"I'm not going anywhere." "Not until you learn how to drive a stick."
She was relentless.
Eleanor. Prom. Right. that was going to happen. The amount of chicanery it would take to slip prom past her mother, it boggled the mind. Though now that Park had suggested it, Eleanor could almost see it working. She could tell her mom that she was going to prom with Tina, good old Tina, and she could get ready at Park's house. His mom would love that. The only thing Eleanor would have to figure out was the dress. Did they even make prom dresses in her size? She'd have to shop in the mother of the bride section, and she'd have to rob a bank. Seriously, even if $100 bill fell right out of the sky, Eleanor could never spend it on something as stupid as a prom dress. She'd spend it on new Vans, or a decent bra, or a boombox. Actually, she'd probably just give it to her mom. Prom. As if.
Park. After she'd agreed to go to next year's prom with him, Eleanor also agreed to accompany Park to his first cotillion, the Academy Awards after party, and any and all balls to which he received invitations. She giggled so much, the geese complained.
"Go on and honk," Eleanor said. "You think you can intimidate me with your swan-like good looks, but I'm not that kind of girl."
"Lucky for me," Park said.
"Why is that lucky for you?"
Never mind. He wished he hadn't said it. He'd meant to be funny and self-deprecatory, but he didn't actually want to talk about how she managed to be attracted to him. Eleanor was studying him coolly.
"You're the reason that goose thinks I'm shallow," she said.
"I think it's a gander, right?" Park said. "The males are ganders?"
"Oh, right, gander. That suits him. Pretty boy. So, why is that lucky for you?"
"Because," he said, like both syllables hurt.
"Because why?"
she asked. "Isn't that my line?"
"I thought I could ask you anything," she said. "Because why?"
"Because of my all-American good looks?" He ran his hand through his hair and looked down at the mud.
"Are you saying that you're not good-looking?"
she asked. "I don't want to talk about this," Park said, hanging on to the back of his neck. "Can we go back to talking about prom?"
"Are you saying it just so that I'll tell you how cute you are?"
"No," he said. "I'm saying it because it's kind of obvious."
"It's not obvious," Eleanor said.
She turned on the bench so she was facing him and pulled his hand down. "Nobody thinks Asian guys are hot," Park said finally. He had to look away from her when he said it. Way away, he turned his head completely. "Not here, anyway. I assume Asian guys do all right in Asia."
"That's not true," Eleanor argued. "Look at your mom and dad.
Asian girls are different. White guys think they're exotic."
"But are you trying to come up with a super hot Asian guy so you can prove me wrong? Because there aren't any. I've had my whole life to think about this."
Eleanor folded her arms. Park looked out at the lake.
"What about that old TV show," she said, "with the karate guy?"
"Kung Fu?"
"Yeah.
That actor was white, and that character was a monk."
"What about..."
"There aren't any," Park said. "Look at MASH. The whole show takes place in Korea, and the doctors are always flirting with Korean girls, right? But the nurses don't use their R&R to go to Seoul to pick up hot Korean guys. Everything that makes Asian girls seem exotic makes Asian guys seem like girls." The gander was still honking at them. Park picked up a chunk of melting snow and tossed it half-heartedly in the goose's direction. He still couldn't look at Eleanor.
"I don't know what any of that has to do with me," she said.
"It has everything to do with me," he answered.
"No."
She put her hand on his chin and made him face her.
"It doesn't. I don't even know what it means that you're Korean."
"Beyond the obvious?"
"Yeah,"
she said.
"Exactly. Beyond the obvious.
Then she kissed him. He loved it when she kissed him first.
"When I look at you," she said, leaning into him, "I don't know if I'm thinking you're cute because you're Korean, but I don't think it's in spite of it. I just know that I think you're cute. Like, so cute, Park."
He loved it when she said his name.
"Maybe I'm really attracted to Korean guys," she said, "and I don't even know it."
"Good thing I'm the only Korean guy in Omaha," he said.
"And good thing I'm never getting out of this dump."
It was getting cold and probably late. Park wasn't wearing a watch. He stood up and pulled Eleanor to her feet. They held hands and cut through the park to get to the car.
"I don't even know what it means to be Korean," he said.
"Well, I don't know what it means to be Danish and Scottish," she said. "Does it matter?"
"I think so, because it's the number one thing people use to identify me. It's my main thing."
"I'm telling you," she said, "I think your main thing might be that you're cute. You're practically adorable."
Park didn't mind the word adorable.